Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCVE 90.5 FM Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Boy, how sweet it is. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Miller.
And this is Double Take.
It sure is.
Probably can't count the number of crime movies we've ever seen. And they're a staple of American cinema,
yes.
Of course. And later on, we'll discuss maybe some. I wonder if I'm going to hear about Chinatown.
You just know.
Anyway, the one out there now, it's called Crime 101. Can you give us a little overview of that?
The 101, because it makes it seem like the title, a class on how to commit a crime,
yes.
But it's actually about the freeway in L.A. called 101. And that's where the brilliant detective played by Mark Ruffalo sees a pattern in these heists that take place all along this highway. His other slightly corrupt colleagues in the police department, the best part of the movie is Ruffalo playing like a Columbo.
Oh, I love the conceit. There's this hijacker, this heister,
yes.
Played by Chris Hemsworth. He is pulling off these heists all along 101. I love that. And I especially loved the sequence where Ruffalo is showing up on a board.
Yes.
And very ingenious.
I really liked it. And what's so ironic is right the day before I went, saw the movie, that I helped out at a class at the Citizens Police Academy in Hilliard and stayed for the class because it was about crime scene investigation. This movie follows three different paths. One being, of course, Ruffalo, the police detective, that shabby, smokes cigarettes, definitely needs a shave and a shampoo.
Yeah,
a lot like my favorite TV detective, Columbo.
Yes.
Just shambling along, and people underestimate him quite a bit. The other arc kind of follows Chris Hemsworth's thief with scruples as he's going about setting up his crimes, meeting with it. I thought one of the other things great about this movie is the secondary supporting cast that is excellent.
For Women's Month, we have a very strong female cast here.
Yes.
I've not seen a movie where you had at least three very strong women. You didn't need all three. You could take one of those. I could take
Halle Berry
would be just as good.
Oh.
But my favorite new one is Monica Barbaro.
Oh, yeah. She was superb as Hemsworth's girlfriend compared it to Michael Mann's Heat. And Al Pacino playing a brilliant detective with Robert De Niro as the thief with scruples.
And not only do I remember Heat as one of the fine crime movies. I also complained, and I complained to you, there were very few two shots in that.
Yes.
I thought those two fabulous stars may never have even connected in that movie, and they did all one shots.
Yeah, well, because basically it wasn't the one scene in a restaurant.
Yes.
That they're talking, but then you don't see them together again until the final.
Yeah.
The story arc in Halle Berry, she plays an insurance agent. Her client is one of the ones who Hemsworth robs, and she has to pay it out. She begins to notice a pattern herself, and she knew Ruffalo from the past. But then, of course, she gets to know Hemsworth.
I don't think she has ever looked any more glamorous than she looks in this film.
Oh, age appropriate. One of the biggest cheers in the movie came when she was just turned up, just ripping into her sexist, almost racist boss and age discrimination.
There's one number he says to her, 53. And then when she tells him off, clues in young insurance lady.
You know, that's wearing like what I thought was really interesting with that early. The first scene with Halle in the movie is that she's with this really brilliantly played by Tate Donovan, very snide billionaire that you just love to hate. And she's wearing this low-cut blouse. The newbie that is now going to be taking her place is kind of wearing a coquettish over-the-shoulder, you know, like little sweater or whatever.
The feminist part of this film was so very well done. And the classism, because you have all these big billionaires.
And a lot of them are as corrupt as, if not more so.
You have to see the ending to see our Columbo Ruffalo take that guy down.
Yeah, take Donovan. Saying, no, this is what you're going to do.
Right. You
know? Both he and Hemsworth's gentleman thief came from maybe poor beginnings.
I was impressed with Hemsworth Davis. Oh. It was cool the way he needed to be, and in the spirit of the noir bad boy. Yeah, he was.
But not so much. Really kind of a bad boy.
You don't think after he had a dozen heists?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like Ruffalo, I didn't mind that he got away with I don't want to give anything away because part of that whole gentleman thief. That's where I'm kind of centering when we talk about similar movies.
Well, Bart Layton, the director, who was also a co-writer, has nicely presented a likable thief.
Yes.
And in the Steve McQueen tradition.
Thomas Crown Affair in particular.
He's not quite as smooth as that. That's again what I like.
Yeah.
He's uptight about what he's been doing. He'll breathe heavily when he's going to pull it off. And we open the film with exercises.
Yes.
To make you feel better.
In a way, kind of shares with Halle Berry's character,
yes,
who has this self-affirmation type of things. They try to help her sleep. Yeah, Ruffalo.
Ruffalo's just trying to get along, maybe to get to retirement.
He's sitting on the job brushing his teeth, and his soon-to-be ex-wife, kind of played also by Jennifer Jason Leigh.
There's another woman, a strong woman. I think they cut her out.
Very small role.
Yeah.
Just there at the beginning, but then later on when they're at a diner, talking about...
Well, everybody here is in transition.
Yes.
And he's sitting with her. She's soon to be his ex-wife.
Yes.
But they're still living together. They're going to split.
There was an affinity each of those three main characters had for each other. Had you cheering for them. What's funny, remember, John, one of our very close friends, this couple... Keith and Lula. And Keith said, it was okay. Great car chases. But everybody's bad in that movie.
There's not a really good person. But I think Keith was missing the point that we had a couple of good, really good persons.
That maybe bend the law. Obviously, Ruffalo did.
Yeah, right.
But even Halle Berry, at the beginning, that she talked about that. In fact, she told Hemsworth, no, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't, that really setting herself up.
Actually, the worst bad boy in the movie is Barry Keoghan, right?
He really made it such a contrast between Hemsworth's thief, who does not like violence, that relies on his brains, whereas Keegan's character is just wire.
He's whacked.
Whacked
with
to the hilt.
Blonde hair.
Oh, my God, I'm beating the crap out of people for no reason at all.
Yeah.
But definitely a psychopath. And some would even maybe say, because of his inability to maybe relate to people, Hemsworth's character is maybe more of a sociopath. He couldn't look people in the eyes very well, felt like he was lesser than people, and this was one way to prove that he is maybe as equal or even superior to, because of his upbringing in foster homes.
I like the fact that we have a femme in Monica Barbaro's character. But I also like the relationship they develop. Good romance. It's not Bogey and Bacall, but there's echoes of that. And there's echoes, Chris Hemsworth's character, Davis,
yes,
there's echoes of that kind of hard-boiled.
One thing about that girlfriend, the actress that plays her, she did a great job in the Bob Dylan movie.
She played Joan Baez.
Joan Baez, thinking, wait a minute.
Yeah, this is a pop.
Don't remember Joan Baez looking so downright beautiful.
All right, Wayne Miller, what's your advice on Crime 101?
I would strongly recommend people see it, a top movie of this year so far.
So far,
first couple
right.
months.
Yeah.
And definitely recommend, especially if you like a thinking person's character study wrapped in a crime movie.
Yeah, Crime 101, even though it's about that the thruway in L.A., it really is a class in crime movies.
Right.
And I can't think of one recently that I've liked as much as I have liked this one.
Well, I'm going to tell you one that I did, though, that I went back and saw, because it's been a good 20-some years, I believe, that it came out. That's Michael Mann's movie Heat. And I mentioned earlier about Michael Mann type of movies with Al Pacino as a frumpy looking detective and a gentleman thief played by Robert De Niro helping out at this Hilliard Sisson's Police Academy class where two detectives were talking about crime scene investigation. And they showed a clip when they started their little presentation, and it was a clip from Heat. Quite interesting that Pacino telling his fellow detectives about what he picks up from this crime. And one of the things interesting he mentioned, he said, look, the guy had easy access to two highways on either side of the crime scene.
He did, all right.
His breakdown analysis of the crime scene, that's what got me interested in going back and watching Heat.
How would you place your favorite film, Chinatown?
It's somewhat similar. This is not a whodunit type of detective movie. And Chinatown leaned a little bit more into a whodunit. We don't know who the criminal is. And this was why I compare it quite a bit to my favorite TV character, Columbo. Those shows, you knew the bad guy at the beginning. And it was a thrill of watching Columbo put the pieces together. And Chinatown, you still had that thrill because you know that the bad guy in a way was, of course, the John Huston character.
Yeah, right.
But you said that I love Chinatown, and which I do, and I like detective movies.
And there's a twist in Chinatown that's
exactly.
It'd be hard to beat.
Oh, definitely a twist, but also a very fetching and not a young femme fatale played by Faye Dunaway in Chinatown, like Halle Berry in this one. It's a woman who's been around the block and also in some unfortunate ways.
Well, one of our young producers just left a note with me saying that, how come we haven't said anything about God?
Oh, no.
Why not?
Oh, I wouldn't. Not at all. The thinking Godfather and maybe a criminal with scruples and a sense of honor, that's true, the Hemsworth character. No. To me, this centered more on Ruffalo and possibly...
Yeah, and this is more about, really about a heist and the intricacies of a heist.
Yes.
Godfather is not really about a heist.
No,
it's about family.
No. It's family.
Yeah.
And not to put down Godfather.
I mean, but we would say the same about Goodfellas, right?
Oh, definitely. There's genres, like the war movies and westerns and comedy. But this one, the kind of the criminal crime element, there's a certain... subgenres. There's detective things, but then there's one centering on the criminal themselves.
And this is such a rich genre. We look at the delights of Ocean's movies.
Yes, yes. Now, that to me would be a better comparison than Godfather would be.
Yeah,
because, and that's the one thing that really kind of intrigued me, and I went back and did some reading, kind of a history of movies that I looked at. There has always been intrigue, especially early on in movies, with the gentleman thief, Raffles, gentleman jewelry thief that was popular in the 20s and 30s. The Saint.
Yes.
You know, that was turned into a TV series with a future James Bond, Roger Moore.
There's a different kind as well. Here we are. We're talking a really rich genre.
Yes.
One of my favorites, which doesn't have any whodunit to it at all, Dog Day Afternoon.
Yep, that's true. Now, that's centered on Pacino's character, you know,
that's
Channing Attica. Yeah. But there is, like, a police person involved in that, trying to talk them down.
Yeah, right. I think kind of figured
out how they're going to try to make
it. It's a kind of a middle road because it's so character driven.
Yes.
We already know, as you would say, there are no secrets here. They're pulling off a heist.
It's
really about Pacino, his sexual orientation, that cop who tries to work it out. Oh, good. There's one that came out I wanted to mention for you.
Have another one.
In Bruges. Came out in 2008 with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson.
Oh,
but again, that's another one I really love for the characterization. These two guys that are waiting for orders, like Godot, waiting for orders, and they're stuck in Belgium.
Right. We had mentioned Heat, which we both like.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's more similarities to that than any of those other ones. But the several reviews I read that weren't quite kind to this movie because they were comparing it. They said he was trying to do the director too much like Michael Mann type of movie.
Well, yeah, but Mann is the touchstone for this kind of movie.
And
we got to thank him for how many good crime movies he spawned, and particularly the pace.
Yeah.
You know, and he introduced that whole quick pace. And we have some of that in Crime 101. But the beauty of Crime 101 is that we're able to settle down with our characters.
Well, and then it kind of adds some of these really good chase scenes. It dawned on me a really good detective movie was in the late 60s, Bullet, with Steve McQueen.
We even had, I think, the same automobile, Mustang.
Exactly. That we mentioned that, yes. A greenish Mustang that obviously, which, of course, really drew more to the parallels to McQueen's movie, The Thomas Crown Affair.
Oh, yes,
which
they, good combination.
With Faye Dunaway again, Femme Fatale from Chinatown, and she played like an insurance investigator, not an agent so much as Halle Berry in this movie, in Crime 101, but more of an investigator. Now, the big difference, though, in both versions of Thomas Crown Affair, the later one with Rene Russo and Pierce Brosnan, who does a good job, that character was a millionaire and didn't need the money. He liked the thrill of planning out these high-end heists that he could pull off, whereas Hemsworth's character in Crime 101, being brought up in poverty, and he wanted to have enough money, and that was it. Yes. And he was looking for the last big score that his mentor and boss, nicknamed Money, played by the very grizzled.
Barely can talk.
Nick Nolte, with a rasp in his voice that he can use for sandpaper.
Well, going back for just a minute to the comment you were making, I believe this director, Bart Layton, did a brilliant job with his car chases. Now, there's something.
Yes.
You have car chases in everyone, Jason Bourne and everyone you want to look at. But this is particularly well done and very evocative of Bullet.
Exactly. A Bullet, but also there were two car chases, one of them involving the bad boy Barry on his motorcycle. And lo and behold, John, if we were looking at some sort of kismet and fate in all this, don't you forget The Great Escape with Steve McQueen on a motorcycle. There was one part, the cars are coming like right for us, and one does this beautiful, very realistic flip in the air, you know, as it hits something. And I said, whoa, now that's how a car chase should be shot.
If you want to look at the old noir, the Multi-Falcon is one that you'd want to mention here and there.
Yes, definitely.
Again, it's different from the one we have here. It's more somber. Bogart's character is even more troubled in some way than our Chris Hemsworth character. Well, but they're still the focus. They're still these up type of bright centers.
Yep, definitely.
And definitely your Columbo type. And then you can have one that I think is really bizarre, and I don't know where it fits in any of these, but I just have to mention A Touch of Evil.
I saw that on the list, and I'm thinking, but it gets me thinking, though, that now that one's a little bit more of a whodunit type of thing, but with a Charlton Heston playing a Mexican who is a police investigator and just happens to stumble on something with his wife, played by Janet Leigh, on the border. But once again, you've got these touches that only Orson Welles can do.
I know. Then on the other end, there's the Silence of the Lambs. And there is a whodunit in that.
Kind of new, though, who the bad... but she doesn't know, but she pieces it together a lot based on clues given to her by Hannibal Lecter. But, but what's interesting, this is one of the few things that movies that really focus on a female as a police investigator. In this case, a rookie FBI agent who hasn't even graduated yet. But since she's the behavioral analysis unit, they ask her to interview Hannibal Lecter. But he could see potential in her as far as her brain.
We're talking Jodie Foster's character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can see where you could maybe go with that, but in a way, maybe the real baddie in that one, Hannibal Lecter, was maybe a possibility of a person with scruples as well as an unusual diet.
A lot of these are film noir, and so your Chinatown example is such a good example of in color a noir. And I think that's where real genius
but holds,
is.
But holds up.
Yes, it holds yes. up. And I think Crime 101 does. The yep. Big Sleep.
Oh, okay. Yep, another bogey one.
Yeah.
Right. Playing once another private eye.
Yes, yeah.
That, yeah. And that one does have a whodunit, but I guess it was so convoluted that a lot of people, including Chandler himself, couldn't figure out really how a couple of people were knocked off and by who in that movie, that a rather convoluted plot in
yes.
a way.
Yeah.
But a good example. Yep.
One that in 1967 brought a new kind of crime film in, and this is Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were maybe going to see something really kind of different in The Heat of the Night.
Oh,
where the police
right
detective
too.
Was Boy, sending
really
Poitier.
Out there, yeah.
But Bonnie and Clyde.
Where, again, we don't care what heist. We see them. We know they're doing heists. But we're mostly
right.
interested in his character.
Yeah. The big guy. In fact, when I taught a film class, I talked about not only film genres, but subgenres within a major genre.
Yeah.
Bonnie and Clyde would be, instead of this one, Crime 101, really straddles several subgenres.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at the different films.
Exactly.
Insights thought about. And
yeah.
I thought one that we could end with that probably pleases you, and I don't even know, I haven't even thought about its connection to Crime 101, but this would be Dial M for Murder.
Yeah, in a way.
Which is definitely character-driven.
Character-driven, definitely not a whodunit.
Right.
And the joy in it, to me, was not so much Ray Milland as the husband wants to murder his wife and the very lovely Grace Kelly. I was always fascinated with the Scotland Yard detective played by who could do a Scotland Yard detective standing on his head. John Williams was the actor's name. How he put it together to get Grace Kelly off of the murder charge.
Crime 101.
Yeah.
It's out there in theaters. It's going to leave.
Yeah,
soon.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of talk about it, but you and I sat there and we were astonished at how good Crime
exactly.
101 was.
And if anybody in the audience listening to us likes character-driven movies, this is definitely one of them with some good bits of action in it. But boy, you really could pick up a lot about human nature by watching this movie.
Very young teens could go for this. I think
oh,
this is
yeah.
a movie that could please somebody
oh, I mean, you
11,
know,
12, 13.
If I had like a great-grandchild at 4 years old, I'd take the kid to this.
Yeah, well, I do. I take him to anything.
Yeah.